Big show for you here today. Justin Boone is back off of vacation to talk through the sophomore running backs with me. Ashton Jeanty, Amarian Hampton all the way at the top, but we go deep into the list. Guys outside the top 100 at a running back 33 ADP that I like quite a lot. All that and more cut up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball because it's always a hell of a day to talk ball, but it's especially a hell of a day to talk ball because he's back, baby. The one, the only, our guy, Justin Boone. Boone, back from vacation. I told you on the pre-show chat, you're looking a little refreshed. What's going on, buddy?
And I'm feeling refreshed. We were joking that I took a little bit of time off in February post-Super Bowl. Came back from that one, was still feeling the effects of the season. I could admit that. I wasn't 100% when I came back from that one. Now we have gone through the process. I'm rejuvenated. I'm fired up about the season. We're ready to go. I mean, the rosters are mostly set, but Harmon, I'm gone for 2 weeks and I come back and you almost never want to see NFL players in the news this time of year because when you get that notification, you see the name, you're like, oh no, what did they do? Or it's like a bad injury update or something like that. The good news is just fluff stuff, right? The good news this time of year is always like he's in the best shape of his life and his recovery is going really well. It's never actually anything meaningful. It's the bad stuff. And we got some of that bad stuff we got to talk about off the top today. But at least we have some news to talk about. I guess I should twist it into a positive because it is a good thing, I guess, that we got news to talk about. It's just not great news from a real life or a fantasy perspective.
Yes, Boone, that's correct. But let's not oversell this. We have a whole rest of the show to talk through a really, I think, fun topic, which is the year two running backs. I wrote a whole piece on the site breaking down the sophomore running backs, what we saw last year, what to expect this year. And I thought, you know, why not turn this into a podcast as well? Because I think it's a really fun group of players to talk through. So we will enjoy a good conversation on those year two running backs, Boone and I. But before we do that, yes, as Boone alluded to, we do have three, what I would say are some unfun headlines to discuss here since we last taped a podcast on this feed, starting with a little fantasy fallout. Malik Nabers. We did break this down a few weeks ago with Dave Kluge when he was on the show. However, the news has seemingly only trickled out worse since then. Most notably, I believe this was last Friday, Adam Schefter reported that the New York Giants don't know when star wide receiver Malik Nabers will be back from what Coach John Harbaugh said Thursday was, quote, not a simple knee injury. Jordan Ronan had more from ESPN, The Athletic's Dan Duggan. I believe this was what we talked about with Kluge on the show, that there was a cleanup procedure done on Malik Nabers' knee. So, Boone, we know that this is not just a simple ACL recovery, simple ACL tear. It's kind of been apparent for a while that that wasn't the case when he was on crutches for longer than we sort of anticipated and expected here what would have been normal. But what are your thoughts on Nabers with this kind of update here from John Harbaugh? You know, they don't know when he's going to be back. They don't know, is he going to be back for training camp? Is he going to be back for week one? I think that's still TBD. Kind of where are you at with Nabers, who we know is really talented when he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, when he's healthy, when he's 100%, I think he's in the conversation for top three fantasy receiver, like maybe even could be in the conversation for the number one guy overall if everything went right. But my thoughts on this are like, welcome to the party, everybody. Like when I did my first run of the rankings in January, Harmon, I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the show and how I was very down on Nabers at that point because it was going to be a serious injury. And it was an injury that occurred in September. Then he had to do prehab on it. So he didn't end up having the actual surgery. The injury happened in September. The actual surgery didn't happen until the end of October. And everything that's come out has been pretty negative, starting with his conversation with reporters at the end of the season during locker room cleanout. He was talking about how he's going to need to feel right. And he wasn't sure about week one all the way back then. And then this offseason, what's happened? The team has told us through their actions that they're also worried about it. All they've done is gone out and get pass catchers, man. It's like Isaiah Likely, which I think was, you know, a great signing and a guy that they probably needed regardless. But Darnell Mooney and Calvin Austin and drafting Malachi Fields, flirting with Odell Beckham Jr., which is ongoing. They had him in for a workout. They still might sign him. So this is not surprising to me. When I wrote about it, I think I did an article in late March or early April where I went through like all the different injured players, the ones coming off serious injuries. When I wrote about that then, I was looking at him and saying, I've had him around like wide receiver 15 pretty much the whole offseason. You look at his ADP, that early in the offseason was still around like wide receiver 7. I think ECR over at Fantasy Pros, the expert consensus rankings, it was around wide receiver 8. Those now are starting to fall. I think the ECR is wide receiver 9. His ADP is down to wide receiver 10. But still, that's still too rich for my blood. I'm not going to get him in that range. I am very, very scared about what this could mean for him this season when he does come back. And we know, Harmon, when guys come back from injury, it doesn't mean they're back to themselves, even if they're available. Now, maybe the way he's talking and the way he's going to approach it, he won't even step on the field until he feels like he's himself. Maybe that's a good thing because I think a lot of players rush back too soon. But fantasy-wise, I don't really want anything to do with Neighbors this year. And I say that as someone who absolutely loves Malik Neighbors. I hope he can get healthy. And this time next year, if he is healthy, I'll be talking about drafting him everywhere.
Oh, man, I was honestly hoping you were going to have a more optimistic spin on this than I was, because I'm feeling pretty pessimistic about it. 26th overall ADP right now, as Boone mentions in Fantasy Pros consensus, wide receiver 10. Like, it's got to be a lot lower than that for me to even consider this, because, yeah, it's not even just when is he going to play. I do think week one is obviously in serious question. My overreaction take to this, when I saw it, when I was filling the gas pump on Friday, I'm looking at my phone, seeing the, or Thursday, whatever it was, seeing this John Harbaugh, you know, Malik Neighbors quote. I'm like, you know what? I just don't even think we're going to see peak Malik Neighbors in 2026, period. Like, let's revisit this in 2027. Like, we're just not going to see that guy. Yeah, even if he comes back at some point, even if he comes back in week one, there's a 0% chance he's going to be peak him, you know, himself. And, you know, it's also worth noting too, like, this is a different offense for Neighbors than what I think just was an offense that went out of its way to spam him with, and I don't mean this derogatory at all. Like, he obviously is an awesome player that you should get the football to him a ton, but we just don't know what this offense is going to look like this year. The receiver room definitely looks a little lackluster without him, to be kind. That is for sure. But yeah, I'm with you, Boone, that I don't think we see the best of Neighbors again until 2027. I don't think it's going to be this year. And at some point, his ADP probably does make sense. I'm just looking at it still, like, with all of these receivers from the guys that come after him: Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, AJ Brown, T. Higgins, Tetero McMillan, Devontae Smith, Emeka Ibuka, Zay Flowers. Those are the guys kind of going between pick 26, where he is, and pick 41. I'm just not 100% sure there's a spot there where I feel great about taking Neighbors. It is a risk reward proposition. He could be crushing it by the end of the season. It's just going to be a long journey to get there. I do want to ask you quickly about just other Giants receivers. We got a good question from the YouTube chat. Reminder, this show is live on Wednesdays here at 2 p.m. Eastern every single Wednesday. So you can watch along with us. At Keegan Levicki, love the YouTube handle there, says, is Mooney maybe a smidge uptick with this, or who gets the targets if he starts on PUP? That is Malik Neighbors. So there's never like a winner when a player this great is going to miss time, but do you have anyone in this Giants pass catching group that you're maybe bumping up your rankings?
Yeah, I've moved Isaiah Likely up. As I mentioned, he's a guy that I'm interested in, and it doesn't take much to get into that like low end tight end one range for fantasy.
Yeah,
I think he's in that conversation. I think he could definitely be a top 10, top 12 guy this year, especially early in the season. We could see some inflated totals if Neighbors isn't out there. He's interesting to me. Other than that, not really, man. Like, in deeper dynasty leagues, I'm happy to take a shot on these guys. I will even admit, we always joke about some of the like really deep analyst leagues I'm in. I do have a share or two of Odell Beckham that I picked up in like 34 man roster leagues you start like four or five receivers, just throw him on the end of the bench. Hey, maybe we get a start or two out of him early in the season. Who knows? But no, Mooney had such a bad year last year that it's hard to get that excited about him. And I think what will happen is they'll spread the ball around. There won't be that guy. And I think that does, you made a good point that it does factor into Neighbors' outlook moving forward, that when he was putting up those big stats, they were throwing the ball to him a ton, in part because there wasn't that much else. I like Wandale Robinson, but other than Wandale Robinson, not a huge Darius Slayton guy. So there wasn't that much else to go to. Now you do have at least some other options in the passing attack that could get the some targets. So yeah, for me, I'm not really investing in that receiver core. I'll still go after Jackson Dart because we know he can win with his legs as well. And I think he can elevate some of the players around him. Pretty interested in a running back that they have there as well. Cam Scataboo, who we'll talk about a little bit later. And then Isaiah Likely would be the other one who, like I said, I think could potentially get off to a hot start this season and maybe have a pretty good year and be your fantasy starter all year long.
Yeah, I think that we'll talk about Cam Scataboo. You know, Jackson Dart said he expects this offense to be very run heavy. It does on paper look like an offense that could be pretty run heavy. Francis Maunoa added to the offensive line. They added a ton of tight ends this year, and Pat Ricard, the fullback, in addition to that. So I will say Nate Tice got my gears turning a little bit about Malachi Fields as like the lone receiver in some of these heavy personnel packages. And I do like Fields a little bit as a prospect. So he's somebody that I want to track over the course of the summer. Like, what is his role going to be in everything? And he might get onto like the best ball radar, late round fantasy football type of pick there, because I do think he fits as a probably a boom bust kind of X receiver option if he sticks in that position, but definitely somebody I think is worth tracking over the course of the summer. Let's keep going here with some unenjoyable headlines and talk about Bucky Irving, who, Boone, you famously put in the coping corner, you know, what was that, like March? Was that March or February? I mean, it was early. Before the offseason, really. It was early. He is in the coping corner for this season, and you might be right on this one. Bucky Irving is not expected to be back until... Unbelievable quote here from head coach Todd Bowles. Is not expected to be back until sometime, quote, in the summer or fall. Obviously, the word that got attention for everybody there is fall, because look, maybe Todd Bowles is just, you know, going off the cuff here and you know, the whole deal. But obviously, like, fall is the calendar's officially turned to fall, what, late September? I'm not a calendar expert. Maybe it's October, yes. But it ain't week one.
Late September.
Right? You know, it's late September. Boone's the calendar expert and the fantasy rankings expert here among the two of us. So he's got the calendar beat for us on that one. But yeah, obviously, fall would be a disaster for Bucky Irving. But even beyond that, the fact that this shoulder injury, which has been a trouble for Bucky Irving, even dating back to last season, the vibes are just really bad on Bucky. And when we did the mock draft episode, I kind of liked Scott's pick of him at running back 19. And you once again kind of talked me off of that. I think I was wrong and you were right to be pretty skeptical of where Bucky is at this point.
I will say, though, all the reasons that I was down on him, it didn't really factor in the injury that much. Like, it was in there, but it was sort of a smaller piece because he came back late last season. Like, he played the last six games of the regular season. I assumed that on top of the fact that he was going to have a full offseason to get healthy, I thought health-wise he would be fine for this year. I wasn't really that worried about that situation. I was more worried about the fact that they went out and got Kenny Gainwell to replace Rashad White. They brought back Sean Tucker. And on top of that, Bucky just wasn't that great for fantasy this year in a similar situation, even if you don't include the injury stuff. So now we're throwing yet another red flag on him. I'm pushing him even further down. Like, I had him down in the low end RB2 range. I'll have an update out next week, but you have to look at him now as like in the high end RB3s or just RB3s in general. Like, he is another player that I am just going to stay away from this year. I don't want to draft him. I would much rather take Kenny Gainwell later and see if I can get some value there, or even throw Sean Tucker at the end of my bench. But I do not see a ceiling outcome for Bucky Irving unless somehow he gets back to 100% health. And then we see some other guys get injured in that backfield. Anything can happen. But right now, this is not looking great. And I think if you have him ranked any higher than like RB25, I think you're making a mistake. So wherever his ADP settles in the coming weeks, I will make sure I'm even lower, and I will make sure that people who are following my rankings and using them to draft will not have any Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Just a lot of reason to be skeptical about Bucky. In addition to the fact that I really don't know how good the Bucks are going to be this year, offensive line should be better. That's great. But yeah, Bucky was pretty ineffective as a rusher. He was like dead last in rushing success rate and rushing EPA, you know, even when he was on the field last year. And I don't think that was all his fault, but some of it is due to obviously just injuries and stuff like that. And it's worth noting too, like, The reason he fell in the draft was because of his size. He's sub 200 pounds, you know, smaller back, and obviously injuries already kind of taking a toll here. It's a shame. I hope we don't look back and think of like, oh, Bucky Irving's rookie year, like that one bright shining light. I hope he can help, can get healthy and start crushing it. But a lot of reasons right now, as we sit here in late May, to be skeptical of Bucky Irving. Last one here in the headlines, and I don't really know that we need to do a ton of breakdown on this because it, you know, it's an ongoing situation. It's a serious situation. But Adam Schefter reported last night that after a complaint on May 23rd and a subsequent investigation, Packers running back Josh Jacobs was arrested and booked into Brown County Jail on 5 charges, including battery/domestic abuse, criminal damage to property/domestic abuse, disorderly conduct/domestic abuse, strangulation, suffocation, and intimidation of a victim. So obviously a lot of serious charges. Josh Jacobs, again, just as we were kind of getting on the air here this afternoon, Jacobs was released from jail. And I believe that no criminal charges have been filed against him. So don't really have a ton here to say, Boone, other than obviously this is a situation we just, you know, we need to monitor and keep people informed of.
Yeah, it's just awful on all fronts. Like I said off the top, that we have way too many situations where players are getting in trouble, regardless of how it works out. And I do think we should mention, like, the whole, you know, he's innocent. He has a judicial process that has to go through. There has to be more information that comes out. People on social media just want to jump to conclusions and want to react right away. That's a mistake. You know, let's let this play out. Let's see what else comes out. And hopefully, you know, it gets sorted one way or another. We do see often when situations like this happen that, you know, sometimes there doesn't end up being any punishment. Sometimes punishment gets pushed back. But again, these are all allegations and stuff, and we have to get more information on it. So the fact that, you know, everybody's already basically running, acting like he's going to be out for the season or something like that, that's a mistake. And almost any time that you overreact to news that comes out, it ends up being a mistake. So yeah, let's take our time on this one. Let's get more information coming out. And if you want to take shots on some of the other players in that backfield, you can. But I would say, I think if Jacobs does miss any time, that the smart move would be to go out and get somebody else, because I think they would need more help in that backfield. Marshawn Lloyd has not proven that he can stay healthy. Chris Brooks is like a nice player, but not a guy that you want starting for any sort of long stretches. So yeah, I think this one is just, you know, we'll sit and we'll watch what more developments come out on this one, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think that's the right read on it. And yeah, certainly those backup running back names don't inspire like a clear, oh, this guy, you know, this guy would get a boost or something like that if Jacobs was to miss any time. So again, a situation that we will monitor and keep you all informed of. But for now, we are going to palate cleanse, take a quick break. We come back, we'll talk through the year 2 running backs and what to expect this year. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back, and let's get into the meat of the show here today. It is the year 2 running back discussion. Boone, we had a lot of talks about these guys, I think, before the season, during the regular season. A few of these guys were kind of regular mainstays in the panic meter during the regular season. So I feel like we have talked about these players an awful lot, but I think our most notable discussion had to be, and let's revisit this here. Luckily, we can bring the rankings back. I think this had to be your second show with us here, because I think we're doing Contrarian Corner, and we talk about what if this rookie running back class is bad or it's underwhelming. And I kind of think it was a little bit underwhelming relative to expectations as rookies, but we'll get into that more throughout this discussion. And at the end of the show, you unveiled your top 27 rookie running back rankings, which if you're watching with us here on YouTube, you can see this on the screen, which was right away when both myself, and I will also say the producers of the show, knew as well, like, oh yeah, this guy's gonna fit right in. This guy loves ball. This guy is gonna fit right into our show. 27 rookie running backs you rank. If you're watching with us on the show, number 27, M. Yarns. Yes, M. Yarns. That's right. I believe he's playing in the UFL now. Is Yarns? So Marcel well Yarns. He is. I looked it
Marcus
Yarns. Marcus Yarns. How disrespectful. Marcus Yarns.
It's all UFL right. This was done so right early now. That it says J Marks for anyone watching right now, which was Woody Marks. And I believe it was his name, like Jaquarius or something like that. Like, yeah. So it was very early in the process where even some of the players that we have on here weren't really, you know, to the point where people knew who they were or were getting excited about them yet. But I had been on it, and it was kind of unprompted, too. I think you guys were just expecting me to maybe do the top 10 or something like that. And it's just the way I am, right? I want to mention all these guys, and I think for good reason. And we're going to talk about it a bunch today, but not just the top names, which, of course, you know, a bunch of them already have hit or we expect to hit this year. But even some of the deeper names, we didn't hit on everybody. But a lot of the deeper names on this list are in the mix for potential starting jobs this year, committee jobs. Or more likely, a lot of them could be number two backs, and we know how much value those one injury away guys could have. So I think it ended up being a very good class. I would disagree with you that I think it was disappointing, because I think there's years, you know, in years past where you only end up with like one or two running backs that make a difference. I think we could look at this list and go, we had a bunch of guys last year who made a difference, and I think we have some really exciting outlooks for a lot of them, but I don't want to spoil the rest of the show here. Come on, we can get to it.
Yeah, I meant maybe a little bit underwhelming rookie seasons for a few of these guys. But again, we'll talk about this more in depth. Damian Martinez, by the way, number 23 on the list with the Seahawks at the time, is actually now on the Packers roster. So we just talked about it before the break. There could be some opportunity there in that backfield. But yeah, some interesting names when looking back on this list. But yeah, I believe I just asked you, like, give me a couple guys outside the top 10 or whatever that you really like, and you rattled off, I think, all of the other 17 names here, but some guys that ended up mattering, Kyle Manungai, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, we will talk about those guys here later on. But let's go to the very top of the list, both last year, this year. The guy at the top of this class was Ashton Jeanty, who currently right now is going off the board at running back 7, 13th overall. So it was, again, just based on ADP, he was drafted as like a consensus round 1-2 turn player, finished as running back 17 in points per game. So, you know, this wasn't like a disaster season, but obviously for the Raiders, it was a disaster season. I think that brought down Jeanty's fantasy appeal a little bit. So where are you at with Jeanty this year amid a full-on situational coaching staff quarterback change for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think you have to be excited, right? Clint Kubiak coming in there, I think that's a massive upgrade to the coaching staff. Seems like they've figured out the quarterback situation, or at least brought in some depth to that room with Fernando Mendoza as the long-term starter, with Kirk Cousins as that like reliable veteran guy and could be the mentor to him. So that's exciting. They've tried to address the offensive line, so that's also good. And you're going to get a healthy Brock Bowers. And I think when you look at what Jeanty did last year amidst kind of the chaos around him and the offensive coordinator getting fired during the season and the injuries to guys like Bowers, I was pretty impressed. Like at the end of the year, when you look at it, I know fantasy wise, he was only the RB 17 in points per game and half PPR, but you know, over 1300 scrimmage yards and 10 total touchdowns. It's not a bad season considering everything that was happening in that Raiders organization and that offense. So I think this year with the moves they've made, I think you have to be pretty excited about him. And the people that are worried that this could be a committee, who's that committee going to be with, right? Like Mike Washington Jr., I don't think is coming in to turn this into a 50-50, 60-40 backfield. So to me, they're going to give Jeanty a ton of work. He is going to be the engine of that offense. And him and Brock Bowers are players that I definitely want to target in fantasy this year. And I think are going to be really big difference makers this season.
Raiders ranked 31st in yards before contact on running back runs in 2025. They obviously were not a well-designed run game. The offensive line was problematic. We know there was at one point in the season when Jeanty had more yards after contact than actual yards, because that was how often he was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, just everything that you look at here, even if the Raiders just get to slightly below average as a rushing ecosystem, as a running, like as a, just an offense in general, which I think is, that would be a win. Rookie quarterback, it's a new first year of a head coach, the whole deal. That would be a big win. That would also be a big boost for Ashton Jeanty, who I do think, like last year, I was skeptical about Ashton Jeanty, like a little bit skeptical about him as this, just because I expected the Raiders to be bad. This year, I'm in on this ADP for Jeanty. I'm very much like looking forward to taking him as the 13th overall player in ADP. So no questions really there. I think we can unless you got anything else on Genty, I think this one feels pretty easy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for you, there was one point where you did say that he could be like a Trent Richardson type when we were talking about the potential bad outcome. So you need him to be bad this year if you want that to come through. Because Trent Richardson had a decent rookie year. Then it went downhill.
Wait.
I don't think that's going to be the case for Genty. But
No. I believe my exact words were, if I can make a disgusting comparison here and how like Genty has a bad rookie season, but it still works out in fantasy, is that he has Trent Richardson's rookie year, which was he was not going to have a high yards per carry, but he was going to score a lot of touchdowns. And I mean, Genty did not have a good rookie year. It's not his fault, though. So I don't actually think he's going to be the next Trent Richardson. By the way, Trent Richardson was traded going into his second year.
Yeah, you were just saying it was like within his range of outcomes that could be the way it all works out for him if it goes south. When we were doing a bunch of those episodes last summer about, you know, how things could kind of, you know, go negative for players and for different teams. That was one of them, right?
Yes. Well, I'm definitely not projecting Ashton Genty to get traded sometime now between now and week one, which is what happened for Trent Richardson when he went from the Browns to the Colts. What a mess. So Genty, I'm in at running back seven, same. 13th overall. Next player here, Amarian Hampton, RB10, 17th overall, which I will admit at like first glance, that feels aggressive for Hampton. However, when you look back at what he did as a rookie, he led all rookie running backs in yards from scrimmage per game last year, 81.9, 3.35 yards after contact per rush. And we just didn't see him for long stretches of the season. So again, it feels kind of spicy to say, oh, Amarian Hampton, RB10, but maybe it's not that spicy. Boone, where are you at with what you saw from Hampton last year and what you see from him from a draft perspective this year?
So I'm staying above ADP on him. I have him at RB9. I have him 15th overall compared to ADP, like you said, 17th overall. And I think this would have been a breakout last year, like a just complete full-on breakout. We would have been so happy with him if he had stayed healthy and if some of the other guys in that offense stayed healthy, right? You think back to last season and all the injuries they had, losing both their star tackles, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, some of the other problems they had on the offensive line. There was kind of injuries across the board there. It just never really came together for him. But entering this season, bringing in Mike McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, getting those guys back healthy at the tackle positions, some of the moves that they've made basically to address every single starting position in the middle of that line, right? Like, I think we have to get excited about this. And you could go even deeper with it. You could say, bring in Alec Ingold at fullback and, you know, bring in Charlie Kolar at tight end. I think that's going to improve the blocking. It's going to allow McDaniel to like implement his stuff right away. And that's just such a good thing. We know that McDaniel can scheme up a rushing attack. And Hampton is a first round prospect. Like, I'm not that worried about Keaton Mitchell, who I think is an exciting piece. Nice depth guy. He has that speed to throw in there. I think he'll work really well in McDaniel's offense, but he's not a starting back, right? He's just going to get sprinkled in the offense. And then Kamani Vidal, he played okay at times. I know he had some good fantasy stats, but that was often happening when Hampton was out and he had to step in. He's really just a backup or a depth piece there. Hampton is the guy. And I look at him right now and you try to find these guys who, you know, are second round, third round guys who have that first round fantasy value potential. I think Hampton is just an obvious one. It would not shock me at all, Harmon. I don't know how you feel about it, but it wouldn't shock me at all if next season we're talking about the first round of fantasy drafts, if Hampton is right there as like a locked in first round pick.
Totally. I think he checks all the boxes, plays in a good offense with a good quarterback. I totally with you that the interior of the offensive line, adding Tyler Biadasz, Cole Strange, following Mike McDaniel from Miami, and Jake Slaughter. A little bit of an interesting, the Slaughter pick is a little bit of an interesting one because he was a collegiate center and he's bumping out to guard, but he has the size to do it. But getting Slater and Alt back healthy, you know, knock on wood, fingers crossed, that's the biggest deal to me, in addition to the Charlie Kolar, the David Njoku, the Alec Ingold. Like, clearly this team wants to run the ball. Mike McDaniel's a great run game designer. And I think you could make an argument based on some of the evaluators, you know, I've talked to the last couple of years. Like, they thought that Hampton actually might be better in like an outside zone based system. The Chargers, according to Fantasy Points data, ranked 30th in outside zone runs in 2025. The Dolphins finished with the 7th most. They'll have like a dynamic run game under McDaniel in general. So he also, by the way, did flash some pass catching skills before he got hurt as well. They were using him as like a check down option, and Herbert is totally willing, as we know from the Austin Eckler years, to get to that check down and feed the running back layup targets there. So it sounds like we are both definitely in on Amari and Hampton. Next running back here, very curious where you're at with him. Cam Scataboo, running back 20, 44th overall. I think at times Boone was like, oh man, is Cam Scataboo going to be a faller going into this year? Because the Giants were rumored to be in on Jeremiah Love. He doesn't make it to their pick. They're rumored to be in on Kenneth Walker. They don't sign him in free agency. So Cam Scataboo went from a guy who looked like he could be an offseason loser to a pretty big winner. So where are we at now with Scataboo, running back 20, 44th overall ADP?
I think you have to be excited with some caveats, right? Like, he didn't survive the season healthy, but as you mentioned, he survived the offseason here. And now, as long as he is healthy enough to get out there and be the guy, which I think everything we've seen so far looks like his recovery is going very well, I think he is going to be out there. They're going to sprinkle in other guys for sure. Tyron Tracy Jr., they brought back Devin Singletary. But Scataboo, the players love him. The fans love him. Jackson Dart and him are like best friends. Like, it all kind of adds up, especially with Malik Nabers potentially not being 100% or being out early in the season. They're going to lean on him as long as he is healthy enough to withstand it. And you look back to what he did last year, he was great. Like, once it was a small sample size, of course. And yes, there's a gruesome injury that occurred after that. But if you look at what he was doing before that injury happened, he was performing so well. Now, he only suited up in 8 games before that injury, but in his last 6 outings, the 6th most fantasy points per contest among all running backs. That's not among rookies. That is among all running backs. He was averaging 22 touches per game over his final 4 starts. Like, this is a guy that at least the previous regime looked at him and said, we can lean on this dude. I think the players in the locker room really feel that way. It just comes down to, is he going to be 100% or are they going to have to ease him back in here and therefore use a bunch of other guys and maybe he'll have a slow start to the season? If that happens, though, Harmon, I'm going to be trying to buy low on him like crazy early in the year, because I do think that once he's healthy, they're going to try to build this rushing attack around him. And he's already shown us that when he's out there, when he's doing it, he can handle that. It's just a matter of, with his playing style, I get those concerns, but I think that's why he's going around RB20 and not around RB12.
Yeah, the risk-reward proposition at running back 20, I think, is really fair. Like, I think the risk is baked in. It will be interesting to see if he rises from that ADP as, you know, positive injury news potentially comes in over the offseason. But the funny thing is here, like, yeah, it's essentially the same running back room as last year. And obviously we know that when he was healthy and he fully got ramped up, he just completely pushed aside like Tyron Tracy and Devin Singletary. So he can essentially do the same thing here again, I think. And you could maybe say like this is a little bit of maybe good and bad for Cam Scataboo. In the weeks that he was handling heavy volume, so this is weeks 3 to 7 prior to his injury early in week 8, the Giants ranked 18th in EPA per running back rush, 21st in yards per running back rush, 26th in yards after contact per RB rush, and 18th in success rate. They just happened to be 4th in running back rushes during that time span. As Jackson Dart, we had the quote earlier, said like the plan this year is just give the ball to Cam Scataboo until they could stop it. What if they do that again this year? He gets all that volume and the run game is better. Like, maybe some of that is like Scataboo issues in those efficiency numbers, but what if it's like better because they added Pat Ricard at fullback? They added a blocking tight end in Chris Manhertz in addition to Isaiah Likely. They add run game czar Greg Roman to the mix. Roman obviously has his issues as an offensive coordinator, but his run games are always really sound and well-designed. Francis Maunoa, first round guard here along an offensive line that I think is pretty good. So there's a lot of things in the boxes that are being checked for Cam Scataboo. The issue is just like, it's a pretty big serious injury that he is coming back from. So we can't completely hand wave that.
Yeah. I will also say, I think it's like a pretty freak injury. Like, if you had told me at the end of last season, you know, he had suffered 4 concussions and that's why he was out the rest of the year, I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of the way he plays, right? He puts his head down and takes a lot of punishment. But this is just like a freak injury. So I'm not concerned about his like long-term career durability necessarily. But yes, we do have to monitor this one, you know, all off season to make sure he's out there. And I think you make a good point that as we see some of those practice reps from him and as we see him out there running, I think people are going to get more excited and his ADP will probably rise.
Yeah, there's some guys that he's like kind of going around where I could maybe make an argument. I think he's just fair in ADP right now. I wouldn't say like he's got to be up from here, but we'll be fascinated to track him versus guys like Travis Achane, Javonte Williams, Breece Hall, or some of the guys he's sort of around. So I think that's fair where he is going right now. A guy who is going right after him, running back 21, 48th overall, also coming back from a serious injury, is Quinshon Judkins. So Quinshon Judkins last year, interesting kind of rookie season for him. He was pretty good, I would say. The Browns' run game was quietly not good last year. They were dead last in terms of yards before contact per running back rush. I mentioned that the Raiders, we talked about how bad their run blocking was. They were 31st. The Browns were dead last in this stat last year. Yet at the same time, Judkins trailed Omarion Hampton among rookie running backs. He's the only one who's behind him in rushing yards per game in this class. And that was obviously without a real offseason, as he had some legal issues, late contract signing for Quinshon Judkins. So coming back from a serious injury, he plays for the Cleveland Browns. I think he's a good running back. Where are you at with sort of a, I would say, mixed profile for Judkins as a fantasy option this year?
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind where I have Scataboo, but I think there's kind of similar upside here. Like, I think he did look pretty good in that smaller sample size last year. And it's weird because it's a similar situation to Scataboo following, you know, pretty bad injury. You know, you look at Judkins, he suffered his 2 months later. And yet we've seen some clips recently. He's out there. Looks like he's moving pretty well. Looks like he's on track. And again, we'll consistently, anytime we're talking about these injuries, big difference between a guy out there on the field running around and a guy being 100% back to form and all that sort of stuff. But I think right now it's looking pretty good. And I'm kind of weirdly getting a little more excited about him and maybe some of the potential for this Browns offense. I think Todd Monken looks like he might be the right kind of coach. I like that attitude. It's nice to see that in Cleveland. Stop me here, Harmon, if I'm going down a bad road, because I feel like this could be a mistake. No. But like, you got a little bit of competition at quarterback. I don't know that they have the long-term answer there, but maybe you could get a little bit better quarterback play this year. I think they've done a lot of good things to try to rework that offensive line on the fly this offseason, because I was very concerned about that, but they've made some moves to address that. They have some better playmakers in the passing game after investing in that in the draft. They still have Harold Fannin Jr. Like, I could see a scenario here where Judkins ends up being a meaningful fantasy piece. And you look back to last year, like 998 scrimmage yards and 7 touchdowns in just 14 appearances. He was putting up okay stats, sort of in a bad situation, like we talk about with Ashton Jeanty coming through in a bad situation. Judkins was doing the same here. So I'm looking at a guy who's still very young, who we're going to hope can get healthy. We're going to monitor that all offseason, but also somebody who's like a low-end RB2, but has quite a bit of upside in my mind if this Cleveland offense can even be average this year compared to how bad it was last season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the Todd Monken part of it. We'll say TBD on the quarterback, you know, if they can get some good quarterback play. That's obviously the biggest question here. But look, like at running back 21, 48th overall here, I think that's more than priced in, is like the Browns-ness of the whole deal. Worth noting too, he's targeted on 22% of his routes last year. He wasn't a complete zero in the pass game, was Quinshon Judkins. So I think it kind of sounds like we are in agreement here on this one, Boone, where obviously we need to pay attention to just his health, you know, reports and everything. Like, how involved is he going to be early on the season, of course, but otherwise, like, maybe not a proactive like I'm taking him at 48th overall every single time, but a guy that is perfectly within my draft plans at this ADP.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say too, last year, despite everything, despite how bad that offense was, you know, the injury, he was the RB22 in fantasy points per game. He averaged 11.2 fantasy points per game and a half PPR. If you just look at his 5 games before he suffered his first injury, which was a shoulder injury, much higher ceiling there. RB14 over that stretch, 14.6 fantasy points per game. So he was flashing something more before the injuries mounted. And you don't like seeing that, because injuries are going to happen to running backs inevitably. Guys are going to get banged up as the season goes along. So you want to see them be able to fight through that, continue to produce at the same kind of level. But regardless, small sample, but we did see a little bit more from him. So yeah, I think taking him where he's going right now is fine. Hopefully you're getting him as like your RB2. And I think that's totally fine. And I think this is a young player that could still have a much bigger ceiling.
Yeah, no question. And yeah, Todd Monken, good coach, good coach. I think I'm a little skeptical of what we saw with Cleveland's offensive design and coaching last season, which makes me a little skeptical about the Falcons this year, but that's a whole separate conversation. Nevertheless, I love what Todd Monken does as an offensive coach, only kind of gotten higher as I've continued to revisit some of what they were doing last year. I think that's good news for Quinshon Judkins and all of these Browns players. If they can just get, I'm not going to say league average, but if they can just get acceptable quarterback play, I think we'll see something there from this offense. But we are going to take our next quick break. We come back, we're going to talk about some of the running backs that are outside of the top 50 in current ADP. We will get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We continue to break down second-year running backs here on this show. Let's get to the other former Ohio State product here, Travion Henderson, running back 22, 53rd overall ADP. From a bottom line perspective, it looks like Travion Henderson had a really good rookie season. Finished second among the group with 911 rushing yards, 5.1 yards per carry, 10 total touchdowns in the regular season. However, Boone, I think you pop under the hood a little bit, and I'm not a Travion Henderson hater, but I think these are the facts of the situation. A lot of his production came in games when Ramondre Stevenson missed time, and I've said this to you several times since the season ended, that it's going to be really difficult for me to forget that when it was time to win the damn Super Bowl in the postseason, the Patriots essentially just gave almost all of the work to Ramondre Stevenson. 35 touches for the rookie, Travion Henderson, to 70 for Ramondre Stevenson, 31% snap rate to 70.3% during the NFL postseason. And if you just look at the combined regular season postseason, Stevenson, 232 touches, 1,291 yards. Henderson, 250, 1,241. So I don't know. What's your level of concern that the split looks exactly the same as what it did last year for these two backs? Or am I overthinking this year?
I think anything's possible. I do think it's possible that we see the season start off and Stevenson comes out and he's the starter and he's getting more work. But I just keep coming back to, how do these situations normally play out when a team takes a running back high and they have a veteran who's sort of like an okay veteran? He had a good season last year, yes, but I don't think Ramondre Stevenson is like a true difference maker. And we've seen it play out so many times. I'm going to sound like a broken record because I feel like I brought this up on the show earlier in the offseason. But if you think about how that Lions backfield went, and I'm not suggesting Travion Henderson is Jahmyr Gibbs and a superstar level player like that, but he was drafted fairly high. I think the team does really like him. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time for these younger players to gain the trust of the coaching staff, to get comfortable in the offense, and to really kind of spread their wings and become the player that they're going to become in the NFL. And how did that go? Gibbs, over the last 3 years, just little by little, took more and more away from David Montgomery, and he was the clear fantasy option where David Montgomery, like as of last year, became this like touchdown or bust sort of flex play. Is that not like the most likely outcome still here, Harmon? Like, yes, it might take a little bit of time before we get there. I'm not suggesting that in week one, it's going to be the Travion Henderson show and he's going to come out and put up over 100 yards, but he had a good year last year. When he did get his opportunity, he absolutely crushed it. And when you talk about the playoff stretch, because I kept going back to that myself and being worried, but look at the teams they were playing in the playoffs. Like, those were really tough run defenses. They weren't having very much success with the ground game. They were just putting the ball in Stevenson's belly and kind of getting what they could. So it wasn't like Stevenson was having these monster stat lines in the playoffs. He ended the regular season very strong, had a huge fantasy finish. I think he scored like 6 touchdowns in the final 3 or 4 weeks. But Henderson was still producing in those games as well. Henderson had 82 yards in week 17, had over 50 yards and a couple touchdowns in week 18. Like, the rushing attack was good for the Patriots. I think it's going to continue to be strong. And I think eventually Henderson is just going to prove himself to this coaching staff more and more, and he's going to take over. But I do think that where Ramondre Stevenson's going, he's a pretty solid fantasy draft pick as well. You can get him and you could use him, especially early in the year. But I think you could start both of these guys. I'm pretty interested in both of them where they're going. But if you're talking about like the true ceiling, it's still Henderson in my mind. And maybe I'm blinded by my pre-draft take on him and my belief that he can be this difference maker in the pros. But I think the fact that he got his opportunity last year, he really showed out with it. They didn't bring in anyone else of, you know, any sort of consequence. I still think it ends up with him being the more valuable fantasy asset as soon as the end of this year.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at just the overall structure of the offense, like they were 20th in success rate on running back runs last year, which I think held back both guys. Like to me, the offensive line was an issue. The tight ends as blockers were issues for this team. And that is something that New England tried to address in the offseason. They brought in Eli Raritan, who's a true inline tight end. Nate really liked Eli Raritan through the draft process as an inline guy. Julian Hill brought him over as a blocker from the Miami Dolphins. You know, Romeo Dobbs is a nice blocking receiver as well. So, like, I do think there's some, in addition to the fact that their offensive line should be better this year with Elijah Vera Tucker, if he can stay healthy, jumping in at left guard, pushing Jared Wilson to center. Will Campbell, is he going to be the left tackle or is it Caleb Lomu? Who's a bit better pass protector than run blocker? But overall, like, I think these are good bits of news for both Patriots running backs. And yeah, while Stevenson is jumping up in ADP recently, he's actually inside the top 80 picks now where he wasn't earlier. I do still think that Travion Henderson's a better ceiling bet. I guess I just put it this way, Boone. Like, I'm probably fine if maybe a little bit lower than running back 22, maybe on Travion Henderson. But if you draft Travion Henderson and in the first month of the season, Ramondre Stevenson is out there and getting usage, like you can't. You can't complain about that, because I do think that should be something that you have to be aware of if you're taking Henderson.
I mean, but spoiler, like Stevenson is going to get usage. Like they're not just going to put him on the bench and Henderson's going to be a 25 touch a game guy. Like there's just no way. But again, I keep coming back to the fact when he did get those starts in the second half of the season, you know, from week 8 on, Stevenson missed a few games. We saw Henderson go over 150 scrimmage yards in two different games. Like that's the kind of potential that he offers. And we're trying to skate to where the puck is going to be, right? It's not necessarily what happened last year. It's just going to be exactly what happens moving forward. And for me, I just think Henderson is such an obvious breakout candidate because, again, going back to the Gibbs Montgomery thing, Gibbs didn't need all of the work to become a fantasy star, right? He's just started getting the edge, you know, 56% of the snaps, 60% of the snaps. And then all of a sudden now he was gone and he took over. You don't need that from Henderson either. He doesn't have to be a guy who goes out and gets 20 plus touches a game. Would it be nice? Of course it would be, but that's not going to be the situation here. Regardless, I think both of them where they're going are very intriguing for fantasy.
Yeah. And of course, if Stevenson gets hurt, like Travion Henderson's going to be awesome. Yeah, like I think that is pretty clear.
Because I do
think
the
run game, exactly, as we saw last year, because I think the run game is going to be better for New England this year. Okay, another rookie running back to talk about here, or second year running back, excuse me, to talk about here. Bashel Tuten, running back 26, 63rd overall. Tuten's 47% rushing success rate led all rookie running backs last year. 27% of his carries, Boone, went for a first down or touchdown. Didn't get a lot of work, but the efficiency metrics look good. Where do you stand on Bashel Tuten with Travis Etienne gone, Chris Rodriguez in, and joining LaQuint Allen as kind of that long down and distance back here?
Yeah, LaQuint Allen mostly going to be limited to the passing down work. So it's really going to come down to the other two guys. And I think you have to be more excited about Tuten. And again, it's sort of like the Henderson thing. If we're looking for these ceiling outcomes, we're looking for the guys that can really explode and break out. Chris Rodriguez has been in the league for multiple seasons now. No one has made him a true unquestioned starter. He hasn't topped 500 rushing yards in any season. Also, I didn't see an update on this. Did we get a reason why he's not practicing right now? Did you see anything on that?
I know Liam Cohen
sort of like played coy and was just like, you know, well, eventually the injury update will come out kind of thing. So we don't really know why he's not practicing at the moment. But regardless, with him not practicing at OTAs at the moment, we have Tuten out there, the beat writers talking about how great he looks. And this time of year tends to favor skill position guys, right? There's not a ton of tackling, so they get to look really good and make it seem like they're breaking these long plays and whatnot. But last year, we saw the flashes from Tuten. I saw what I needed to see. He didn't overtake, you know, and get the starting job and become that guy. But this year now he's going to get that opportunity, and you're getting him at a much cheaper price than you have to pay for a guy like Henderson. So yeah, I'm all in on this one. If I have to pick in this backfield, I'm certainly going with Tootin. But again, it's a little bit like the Henderson-Stevenson thing where Rodriguez is going to be involved. When we start this season and we have a sort of a three-man committee in that backfield, don't necessarily be discouraged, because think back to last year when it was Tank Bigsby and HN and you had Tootin involved as well. You had three guys. Eventually it sorted itself out. It dropped down to two. I think we're going to see something like that. As the season goes along, Tootin's going to just continue to kind of establish himself, make bigger plays, make those game-breaking plays, and become the guy in that backfield.
Yeah, he's the guy you want to put the biggest chip on. And you could still like Chris Rodriguez at his ADP and want to take him as well, because there's a chance, like, yeah, if there's an injury at running back 41, Rodriguez outkicks that ADP by a good bit. I would say that the nightmare but realistic scenario for Tootin is essentially what we saw with Bucky Irving late last year, where he doesn't play at the goal line, that goes to Chris Rodriguez, and he doesn't play on obvious passing downs, that goes to LaQuint Allen. And we just talked about this with Bucky Irving, that was a big problem for him last year. I would say though, Boone, that even if that situation comes to pass, running back 26 is still a totally good gamble to take that.
Yeah, for sure. Although I will say they did use Tootin in the red zone. They used him around the goal line last year.
True.
Like,
yep,
he did get plays in that area. So no, he's not necessarily the kind of like hammer that perhaps Chris Rodriguez could be. But I don't think they're going to shy away from necessarily using him in that area. But yeah, there's a lot of things to factor in. It's one we're going to monitor all offseason long. But if you're going to go after these guys, in my mind, you want to go after the more explosive player, the player that can do more in the passing game. And for me, that's certainly Tootin. Chris Rodriguez not giving you anything as a receiver.
Next running back here, RJ Harvey, Denver Broncos, RB28, 78th overall. I think Harvey is a really tricky case, Boone. Led all rookies with 12 touchdowns from scrimmage, finished with the regular season on a high note for fantasy managers. 58 targets. Only Ashton Jeanty had more among rookie backs last year. However, I really don't see a clear vision for him to be a leap candidate in 2026. And based on the Broncos' actions and some of the way they've talked about him, I'm not sure they do either.
Yeah, it was like last year when he got that role late in the season when J.K. Dobbins got hurt. It almost just seemed like by default, like if they had other backs that they liked enough, they would have mixed them in as well, but they just really didn't, so they had to lean on Harvey. This is the first one where I'm like significantly lower. I have him at RB35. I am 97th overall, and it's for what you just said. I don't see... You know, I can always make a case, I guess. I could see a path towards him becoming that guy. But you're hoping the only real outcome there is like he emerges as this like Alvin Kamara type player with the Sean Payton connection, obviously. And then you have Jonah Coleman and J.K. Dobbins kind of playing that Mark Ingram role. I don't think that's the most likely outcome here. I think we're going to see a three-man committee. I do think Coleman's going to get some touches even early in the season. And then, sadly, I don't want to, you know, set my watch on this, but we just kind of know that every year J.K. Dobbins gets hurt in his NFL career. When that eventually happens now, it's not going to be the Harvey show like it was last year when he like absolutely crushed it, right? He was the RB9 on a per-game basis from week 11 on last season, was just great for fantasy. But that was because he was getting the vast majority of the work and really having these big plays. Now you're going to see somebody like Coleman get involved and just kind of continue to keep that committee in a two-man backfield. And I think they pair well together too, right? Like it makes a lot of sense from the Broncos' perspective. Why not use both these guys? And why not have Coleman as that Dobbins replacement? So yeah, I think it's unfortunate. Now, I think where I have him ranked though, like RB35, you look back to last year, right? Playing in that part-time role with Dobbins there early in the season with Dobbins healthy, Harvey was the RB33, averaged 8.7 fantasy points per game, and he was sort of like a boomer bust RB3 flex option, right? Like, I think that's what he is, and I think that's what he's going to continue to be, and now that they have Coleman there, he just doesn't have as many outs to potentially becoming that, you know, difference-making fantasy asset and that real fantasy starter that you want in your lineup.
Yeah, I think the bull case for Harvey probably involves injuries, involves a lot of if statements, and it kind of involves like Jonah Coleman not being good, essentially, or not being an effective player. That would be what it is here. Because as a pass catcher, there's no question RJ Harvey brings a lot of juice, and he can be really effective in that particular role. It just, it, I'm with you though, Boone. I do think running back 28 still feels really aggressive for RJ Harvey, even though I really like the outlook for the Denver Broncos as a whole this year on offense, as long as Bo Nix's ankle checks out totally fine. That is going to do it for us here on the Yahoo Sports Network. However, we have one more running back to talk about inside the top 100, and we have a ton more to talk about outside of the top 100. So if you're watching with us on social, keep up with us. If you're watching with us on YouTube, stick with us. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, we're back, and we have one more running back to talk about before we get into the grab bag guys outside the top 100. And yet, the Yahoo Sports Network gang is not going to get this one. Only the YouTubers and the podcast folks will get this one. And I got to say, I think Kyle Manungai, running back 33, 92nd overall, of all the ADPs we've gone through so far, Boone, might be my favorite here, barely hanging inside the top 100. The Bears' run game was obviously awesome last year. Manungai was a big part of that, 46.1 yards per game and scored 5 touchdowns. This guy was just like a master of keeping the offense on schedule, just keeping the chains moving. He gained 5 or more yards on 43% of his carries in the regular season. That was the best rate in the class. So I think there's obvious standalone value here for Manungai. There's also contingency upside here for Manungai if DeAndre Swift was to ever miss time. And in addition to that, Boone, I think there's maybe it's not a big chance, maybe not even 50-50, but I do think there's a non-zero percent chance that like Manungai's better than DeAndre Swift this year. So where are you at on Manungai? Is this just like a classic late May, I'm just finding some random running back to get excited about here? Where are you at with Manungai here, Bears second year running back?
No, I like him as well. I have him 10 spots higher in terms of my top 300. I have him 82nd overall, so a late seventh round pick. Nice. And yeah, he is definitely going to give you that RB3 flex value with the potential for so much more. Now, I would pause to say, I think Swift is pretty established as the starter there. I think Swift actually played pretty well last season. He produced pretty well, and they didn't really make any big moves. So I think they're going to go into this year just expecting that those two guys are going to roll kind of in the same way that they did last season. And the way that that went turned out fairly well for the Bears, right? Like Swift was very good last year, was somebody that you definitely wanted for fantasy. And I think he's a value again this season. But so is Manungai. Like, if you're going to get him like pretty close to, you know, the 100th pick overall, you know, in the 8th round, like that is a really solid pick, because we saw what he did. And we have to mention who he did it against, because it was against that Bengals defense and everybody was running on the Bengals defense. But we did see him get a start last year, Harmon. And what happened? Yeah. 22 receiving yards, 176 rushing yards. And yes, that is totally like wind at your back. We're going to put a little asterisk next to that one. But at least when he was put in that position, he came through and had a big game, as you should when you get that kind of opportunity. So I really like him. I do think it's going to be, you know, 55-45, 60-40 kind of split again with Swift being that guy. But yeah, when you have the potential to be the starter in a very strong offense and an offense that we think is only going to continue to get better in year two with Ben Johnson there, he just makes complete sense to have as that flex option, and that flex option that could have league winning upside if something happens to Swift.
Yeah, I don't think Swift is a bad pick necessarily at running back 25 whatsoever. The risk for these guys is just that, because I mean, Swift is only 27 years old. I don't think there's like a big risk that he's going to fall off the cliff or anything like that. I think the big risk for both of these guys is that the offensive line and the run game is a little bit worse this year. Left tackle is a question mark with Ozzie Trapillo, the patella tendon tear in the playoffs. Garrett Bradbury is replacing Drew Dahlman, who retired at center. They might install a rookie center at some point in Logan Jones. So there is some risk there. Joe Tooney is another year older. But at the same time, I still think like Ben Johnson is truly an elite play designer, and that's in the run game and the pass game. So I think they should be fine. And in that situation, even then, I kind of think like if they're going to regress as a running team, Manungai might be a guy who just keeps the offense on schedule a little bit more than Swift. So I'm fine with Swift at ADP, but that I still like Manungai an awful lot at running back 33.
We've also reached that time of year, Harmon, where strength of schedule Boone is back. I just released my fantasy strength of schedule matrix on Yahoo. And it will be a fairly tough strength of schedule. They have the fifth hardest fantasy running back schedule for the Bears. But I always tell people, like, when you're looking at those, you do want to look at the margins. You want to look at, you know, the teams in the top five, the teams in the bottom five sort of thing. But you also want to bring context to it. Like, Trey McBride this year has the hardest tight end fantasy schedule. And yet, you are not going to just completely avoid Trey McBride because of that. The guy's a really good player. I'm pretty sure Brock Bauer's schedule isn't great either. I forget exactly where he landed, but the Bears being the fifth worst in that category, I look at Ben Johnson's offense. I look at the potential they have. I think they are going to scheme it up and they're going to continue to produce. So I'm not worried about that, but I do mention that things might be a little tougher sledding for those running backs this year, just based on some of the matchups they might have.
We talked about seasons earlier at the beginning of the show. This is how you know it's summer. All right. Weather's getting warmer. About to open up that, you know, you're opening up the pool. You're about to get, you're in that thing now. Your short shorts are out and you're reading Boone's strength of schedule articles. Okay. That's when you know the summer is here. All right. It's a good time to be alive. Okay. These are the running backs, second year guys that are going outside of the top 100 in ADP right now. I'm going to just throw these guys out there. You tell me if there's anyone here that really grabs your attention. I do think Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, running back 39, is really a guy who does obviously stand out among the crowd here as someone who could be a real starter. Woody Marks, Texans running back 46. Dylan Sampson, Cleveland Browns, running back 54. Ollie Gordon, Miami Dolphins, running back 62. Jordan James, 49ers, running back 68. Jadon Blue, Cowboys running back 73. Caleb Johnson, oh man. So revisit the board at the top of the show. Caleb Johnson, by far the biggest faller here. Pittsburgh Steelers running back at 75, and then Devin Neal of the New Orleans Saints running back 80. Who stands out here? Who's the guy to target from this group? Maybe let's talk about Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt and then throw the other guys out in a grab bag here.
Yeah, that's the right way to approach this because he's the obvious one that I think people should be targeting. He came on last year, you know, he did move the needle with his opportunities. It took a little while for him to get those opportunities, and he had to deal with the Chris Rodriguez of it all, and you know, he had to deal with Jeremy McNichols, who's back, but more importantly, they brought in some other names and some better competition this year, and Rashad White, who should take on that passing role and maybe even more, and then Catron Allen, a rookie who certainly profiles as a guy that could handle some of those Chris Rodriguez touches, and maybe this just turns into a three-man committee again, and it's frustrating, and we need somebody to get injured in order for there to be like true value that's going to move the needle this season. But I think you still want to go out and get JCM after what he did last year. Like, he produced pretty well, right? Like, he had some good games. He eclipsed 70 scrimmage yards four times, twice in the final month, so he was helping fantasy managers there. And again, that's what you want to see when a guy gets those opportunities. You want to see them come through. You want to see them produce. And I think he did enough to warrant getting another shot. Now, it's not going to be a workhorse situation because, like I said, Rashad White's there, and Allen could get some work around the goal line and could get mixed in. So it might end up being fairly frustrating. But regardless, when you're looking at this group of guys, there's only one player that could play his way into the starting job, and it's JCM. He is the only guy. So where you get him, there is almost no risk, right, to take him in that range. So why not do it? I have him right now inside of my top 100. I have him as the RB36, and I am trying to still get him. And at that point in drafts, you're just throwing him on your bench, right? So he, to me, is the obvious one here. After that, is there anybody that you're really excited about here, Harmon, other than just looking at players that could end up being like that number two back and that guy that would be one injury away? And I think guys that could end up being that are like, you know, Dylan Sampson. He performed fairly well when he got opportunities last year. Jordan James has been rumored to be the guy who has the best chance to be the number two back behind an aging Christian McCaffrey, who's coming off a ton of work last year. So I think it's a very interesting time to try to get that number two 49ers back. Now, whether it's going to be James or whether it's going to be the rookie Kalen Black, we will see. And then Devin Neal is fairly interesting, right? Like, if Alvin Kamara doesn't end up with the Saints, and at this point, like, do we think that Kamara is going to be back there? I think a lot of things are pointing towards maybe that ending in divorce and him ending up somewhere else, or him still potentially retiring. He's playing for the Savannah Bananas now. And I saw that it didn't seem like the Saints were promoting that either. So that's also kind of strange regardless.
That's strange.
You could look, we'll say it for producer Colin. Yeah. The Jadon Blue, the Phil Moffa, the who's going to be the Cowboys number two back. We have to throw Malik Davis in the mix there as well, though he's a veteran, not a sophomore. But whoever ends up being that number two back for the Cowboys is another one that I think could be interesting here. But overall, nobody from that other group other than Jacory Grasky-Merritt, who I think has a real chance to end up being the starting back in the backfield without there being some significant injury help.
Yeah, I'm with you on JCM. Like at that range, take him and see what happens. You know, he definitely has an outside shot to be the starter there. Even if I'd say Rashad White, probably the favorite to lead the backfield in touches right now, but no guarantees there whatsoever. Dylan Sampson, I do think acquitted himself well as a rookie and is a solid back, fourth round pick last year. He was targeted on 28% of his routes. Like, he does have real deal pass catching ability, and is someone that I do think is worth keeping on like waiver wire speed dial, especially if the Browns offense is better than we expect with the Todd Monken addition and the whole deal there. Ollie Gordon is another guy that I would say is a good one injury away candidate. Nothing flashy about him necessarily, but did get some run as a banger back, short yardage specialist. 29% of his carries he turned into a first down or touchdown, and most of other than Mike McDaniel, of course, who's a pretty big deal, but several members of the Dolphins offensive coaching staff from 2025 are still in place for 2026. So he's got a shot to retain that gig if anything happens to Devon Achane, or if they just like him as a short yardage specialist.
Yeah, for sure. I really like Ollie Gordon as a player. I feel like, is he just kind of trapped in that backfield? Because it seemed like Once Jalen Wright was healthy last year, they seemed to play him as the number two guy over Gordon. So I think we could hear more from Gordon as his career goes on. I think from a dynasty standpoint, I'm still trying to hold on to him on my benches if he ever does get that opportunity. But I think in terms of redraft, he's got a bit of a battle and he's going to have to beat out Wright for that number two job, which he certainly can do. He has the talent to do it, no doubt. People might wonder why we're not mentioning Woody Marks. And I just feel like he got his opportunity last year and it never really materialized into anything. And I think that's a big reason why they went out and got David Montgomery, who is somebody that I'm quite interested in this year and I think could have a lot left in the tank. And Woody Marks to me just ends up seeming like that pass catching specialist kind of guy. And if he does get the opportunity again, I just don't see anything from his tape last year that makes me think that he's going to be a super productive guy for fantasy. So he's almost like one of those number two backs that I'm shying away from. And I feel like they would get another player involved and it would probably turn into some sort of committee in Houston if Montgomery goes down. You feel the same?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that he could be like a fantasy flex play if David Montgomery goes down. But I mean, the Montgomery addition is pretty, like, it's got to work for Houston. I keep bringing this up. They were 31st in rushing success rate since they drafted CJ Stroud. Like, they're definitely hoping that David Montgomery is better for them. So yeah, I think if Woody Marks is taking a lot of, he can be a nice change of pace back, passing down player for the Texans. But if he's getting a lot of work, we kind of know what that situation looks like. And it doesn't look good for the Houston Texans offense. Real quick, can you remember a guy that went from a first round rookie dynasty player to just like, I know what I'm going to say. And like, I just want to like at least bring his name up here because again, if we're looking back at dynasty rookie drafts from last year, like Caleb Johnson was a pretty widely consensus first round player and went to a spot that everybody's like, oh yeah. And myself included, by the way. You know, I think everybody that watched Caleb Johnson is like, oh, he's a really good fit in a zone rushing scheme. He goes to Arthur Smith, who just spams zone runs pretty much all throughout his time as offensive coordinator or play calling head coach. And he just completely flames out. 28 carries, 69 yards. They took him off kick return duties because they couldn't trust him. And there was like some minor excitement. Boone, I'm sure you were on vacation and actually enjoying your life. But for losers like me who are on Twitter, we're like, there was a one kind of hour period where people were excited that he took I love it. I love that you saw it. Sicko. Sicko complimentary there. But anyways, Caleb Johnson
first team runs.
One little walkthrough carry with Aaron Rodgers on his first, people like, oh, Caleb Johnson getting first team reps. And I was like, you guys need to go outside so bad. But anyways, a lot of words there for me to ask you. Can you remember a guy who went from like just a consensus first round rookie dynasty pick to just like, he's running back 78 in a backfield that isn't completely settled and just nobody really wants to even talk about him? And is that the right way to approach it here in Caleb Johnson?
Yeah, it's not quite the same as the guy I'm going to mention, but you remember a couple of years ago when Tank Bigsby seemed like he was going to get an opportunity And every time he came out and touched the ball, he just did something terrible. Like he was just fumbling and he got no opportunity because of it. Right. And ended up becoming a backup. And he's a fine backup now. And I think he's somebody that people should be targeting for fantasy as one injury away guy if Saquon Barkley goes down. But that might have to be the path here for Caleb Johnson. We might need a trade. We might need him to get a fresh start somewhere else. And even then, I don't know that he's going to emerge as a starter. I think he might just kind of be headed towards that backup role if he can get it somewhere. And right now in Pittsburgh, I mean, there's a chance that by the end of this summer, he's the fourth back in that backfield, right? Like Eli Heinrich's there. You have now Rico Dowdle there. You have Jaylen Warren. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a possibility here that he just completely falls out of favor. And maybe the fact that they gave him that first team rep, maybe it was just them being kind. Maybe it was them going, hey, everybody, this guy's still on the team. Come trade for him if anybody wants him. If you're a team that needs a running back, the Steelers backfield is certainly one where I think people could be looking and trying to get Caleb Johnson on the cheap. I mean, the Cardinals are kind of like that as well, right? Where you just have a ton of backs. And some like a guy like Trey Benson, who had a ton of opportunity ahead of him last year, and then he got hurt and didn't really get to show what he could do. And now it looks like he's completely fallen down the depth chart to the third or fourth spot there. It's kind of the same for Caleb Johnson. So let's hope some of these guys that are low on these depth charts maybe do get some fresh starts, whether it's trade or whether they get cut this summer and they sign somewhere else, because we know it's not over. You can really keep it going. You can land another depth chart where you do get that opportunity. But again, I don't know that starting is in Caleb Johnson's future. I think probably becoming a number two on a backfield depth chart is probably the most likely for him in terms of his fantasy value.
Tank Bigsby in his second season in 2024 touched the ball 175 times, 820 yards from scrimmage, and 7 touchdowns. I'd be pretty flabbergasted if Caleb Johnson had that happen. So, I mean, I agree with you that, like, yeah, he could be a guy that is traded in short order and falls out of favor, you know, even with a new coaching staff, because obviously that's what happened for Tank Bigsby. And there was a moment last summer, I was like, ooh, is Tank Bigsby the Jaguars running back to draft? And he was on the Eagles roster by the end of the year, where, again, Tank Bigsby, 5.9 yards per carry last year with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, we're not saying it's totally over for Caleb Johnson, but the path is it's pretty narrow at this point. So yeah, bummer for him. Hopefully he can recover his career and get rolling here, whether it's in Pittsburgh or elsewhere. But really good breakdown on the second year running backs. But before we go, got to let you all know that the all new 2026 soccer pick'em is here just in time for the world's biggest soccer tournament. Make picks each round, earn points, and climb the leaderboard. You can play solo, you create a private group with friends, or you can join a public group to play with other fans, or you could even join our Yahoo Sports group to see if you can beat us. You join at yahoofantasy.com/soccerpick'em. See you all there. Boone, hell of a show here today. Very glad you are back in the saddle. You mentioned your schedule matrix. What else you got going on here that people can check out?
I had my dynasty buys go up today. We'll have some dynasty sells a little later in the week here. And then next week, we are already into June. So I will have full updates to the rankings, the trade value charts, all that sort of stuff. Backup running back rankings. We'll get the June versions out for all of those. And then we'll start updating those a lot more consistently now that we're getting to the main draft season. So it's an exciting time, man.
It is exciting time. Boone is getting all of his good things in order here. So make sure you check all of those out on the website. This show will be back next week. Remember, we are one pod a week through mid-July. That includes next week on Wednesday afternoon. Boone is going to be back with me. He's going to join me live on the show at 2 p.m. Eastern. Until then, we are out.